If you take your Bibles, we'll open up to the first chapter of Luke. And this morning we're going to consider the story of, or the example of Zacharias and Elizabeth. What I like about this account is that it's about a couple. And it's about a couple that walked together with God. Isn't it nice when someone walks with you in the walk with God? Isn't it nice here at Pilgrim Camp? There are so many others who are wanting Jesus. And we can walk together in these days, seeking for a closer walk with God. And so in the first chapter of Luke, we have the story of John the Baptist. And if we could just read a little bit of it together. Normally we read these things at maybe Christmas time. But there's a wonderful thought here, something that we can take. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. I'd just like to stop here and just a little aside to maybe our young people, or maybe those who are considering a marriage, make sure that the person you marry is walking with God. Because the Bible says two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. And here was a couple. It doesn't say that Zacharias was only righteous. It says that they were both righteous. I'll say one more thing and then I'll stop along that thought. Don't fool yourself into thinking that God has brought someone into your life who's not a Christian that you need to save and marry. Let God do that first. But make sure that the person loves God. I often tell my children, find someone who's more after God than you are, then you're on the safe track. Find someone who's more godly than you. Amen. And so here they are, both righteous before God, walking in all the commands and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And so there's the answer to the first question. How does the Bible describe this elderly couple? They had a blameless walk. They were endeavoring to please God. Do you think God took notice?
Yes, He did.
Of course He did. Did God have a plan? It's interesting. It seems when God is looking to move and do something great in the Bible, He finds people. People He can trust. Couples. Samson's parents. God met them. Did you know that? Before Samson was born. We have this story. John the Baptist had to come. So what does God find? He finds a couple. When the Son of God was to come, who did He find?
Mary.
He found Mary. It came to pass while He executed, in 7, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Seems like a story we read yesterday. Abraham, Sarah, the same thing. Impossible. Seemingly impossible. We're old. Zacharias, we're too old to have a son. And it came to pass that while Zacharias executed the priest's office before God, According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So you have to see this picture. You know, sometimes we feel, oh, when Jesus came, there was nobody who was looking for God. It was terrible, you know, and they were such an apostate nation. But here you see a picture of a people that daily are in the temple offering prayers to God. I mean, later on in the book of Luke, you find also, too, a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna, who were looking for the salvation of God, were laying hold upon the promise of Messiah. And so the enemy would like us to think everything is always dark, but there's always, beloved, a remnant that are seeking after God. There's always, God always has his people who love him and are looking for him. And I trust that we're part of that number in these days. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, Zechariah, an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you will call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the power and spirit of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, if you want, you can continue reading that maybe later, but just a few thoughts here. I've always wondered, what was the prayer that Zacharias was praying? The angel said to him, your prayer is heard. What was the prayer he was praying? Any ideas? For a son. You think it was about that? That certainly seems to fit in the context. But what else could have been the prayer that he was praying? Messiah. I believe both those prayers were upon his heart. That's what the people outside, when they were offering, they weren't praying, I hope Zacharias has a son. That was Zacharias' prayer, right? But I believe also, because this couple was walking before God together, they were looking for the promise of Messiah. And it's interesting because those two prayers went together. John the Baptist was coming as the forerunner of Jesus. And so here, the angel says, your prayer, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. And you will have a son, and he will be. You see how that goes? It's just a wonderful way that God works through this couple to put into motion now, in the fullness of time, it says, right? Just at the right time, God brings his son into the world. And he needs someone to prepare the way before him. He's coming in the spirit of Elijah. And he's going to prepare the way for Messiah. And so here, I want you to see that God is able to work through people that take his word seriously. We're going to turn just to Psalm 119. And the question here is, there's a blessed or a blessing or a favor of God. The favor of God is reserved for those who, and let's see what that we find here. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, or in the NIV, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. And so here's a blessed. The favor of God. You want God's presence. You want God's favor. You want to see his goodness in your life. You know, we like that song. All my life you have been faithful. All your life you've been so good. Love to sing that. But beloved, it's tied to our walk with our God. If you truly want to be blessed, then you'll learn to walk in obedience to the commandments. And it says all the commandments. All the commandments. Now again, you might say, well, Brother Phil, are you telling me I have to obey the Ten Commandments? Yes, I'm telling you you have to obey the Ten Commandments. But it's more than that. If you look at what Jesus taught, are the Ten Commandments more strict than what Jesus taught? Yes or no? Are the Ten Commandments more strict? What's more strict, Jesus' teaching or the Ten Commandments?
Jesus'
teaching is much more. Much more. Why? Because it's a matter of the heart. He says, you know, you're a murderer if you hate your brother. Wow! That's pretty strict. Talks about the thoughts. And so we have to, again, receive that grace from God. Remember, all the way back before the flood, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that is always the way God has dealt with his people. And so, Lord, we receive grace today to walk in obedience to your word. It kind of indicates to me, though, that we need to know what the Bible says. What do you think? If you want to obey God, if you want to walk in a way that pleases him, if you want to walk in his ways. Now, when it says to walk in his ways, what do you think that means? Well, I'll tell you what I think it means. There are certain ways that God has given us in his word in order to have a relationship with him, in order to interact, as it were, with him. Now, in the Old Testament, just for an example, how were the children of Israel to approach God? What was the way? Well, it was through sacrifices, right? They had to do certain things. They had to bring animals, and God prescribed that for that time for them to relate to him, to come near to him. They couldn't just approach God. Someone was reminding me of the story of the sons of Aaron, who somehow got a hold of strange fire and came near to God. Not in the way God had prescribed. And what happened to them? The fire came out from the altar and consumed them. Quite serious. I wonder if that would happen today, how many of us would be alive? God has given us a way, and the way that he has made, the primary way, is through Jesus Christ. But he also gives us this way of praise, the way of prayer, the way of silence, the way of waiting upon him. These are God's ways. In the Old Testament, there's a verse in Isaiah, it says, God is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. The translation there is, God is a God of method. He has a way for us. You know, I know people, they'll tell you, I have a relationship with God. You know, me and God, we're good. We know how to, you know, I have. And I say, well, wait a second. You make the rules? No, God makes the rules. God makes the way for us to approach him, to have a relation, to have fellowship with him. Obedience, beloved, is God's way. Trust is God's way. Do you understand? I make it's not always, you know, well, do this or don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. Yes, there are prescriptive commands, certainly. But then there are these ways of God that he has given, and he wants us to walk in his ways. He doesn't leave us to ourselves to invent the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so blessed. You want to be blessed? Well, let's learn to walk the path of obedience. Someone has said there is no substitute for obedience. There is no substitute for obedience. I've mentioned this recently in Williamsburg. And again, some of these things have been passed down to us over the years, and I can't say I've experienced this personally, or I wasn't personally in the meeting when this was said. But there was a group of people in Zion, Illinois, who met in the faith homes. And those faith homes were originally open to be a place where ministers and missionaries and those who were seeking to serve God could come and be ministered to. Do you know that ministers and pastors and evangelists and missionaries, they need to be ministered to? Did you know that? And so these people would come and gather, and God had his vessels there that would minister in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But here was something that was said. Here's something very simple. Our sister Robinson would say to them, are you doing what he says? You may preach, you may teach, you may tell others, but are you doing what he says? That's something we all can take in our walk with our God, in our walk with Jesus. Are you doing what he says? I just want to touch on the thought of the Word of God a little bit today. This psalm goes on to speak about hiding God's Word in our hearts. It's a verse that we learn as young people, wherewithal, or how can a young man, a young person, keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It seems that God has given us this word, and it's not just a book, like a regular book that you'd pick up and you would read. We're told that this word is alive, it's quick, it's powerful. This word is spirit and life. And when we open God's word, we ought to come with that humble heart that says, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. Lord, speak to me. You know, we sometimes follow a Bible reading plan. Anyone follow a Bible reading plan? Well, that's good. That's good. I know you didn't raise your hand because you said maybe he's going to say it's not good, right? But how many of you follow a Bible reading plan? It's good if you do, right? It's good to be disciplined and to, you know, not be haphazard. You know, some people open the Bible and point to that verse right there. What does it say? Right. And so we have to learn to read our Bibles and be disciplined. Sometimes it's hard. You know, we read the Bible through occasionally at Williamsburg, and some of those Old Testament books, Leviticus, you know, and others, and yeah, and some of those first chapters in Chronicles, you read all those names, and so we need that discipline to apply ourselves. Now, why do I say that? Well, sometimes we read that way and we forget to just take the time. Well, I need to read three chapters today. Or I have to get through this, and I'm behind, and I forgot yesterday. So, and all that's good. You know, it's good to be committed to something. So don't take this the wrong way. But my point is that we have to be careful that we take time to allow God to speak to us. We have to approach this word of God, as an opportunity for God to communicate His will to me. Yes, I like the promises, and He can speak to me through the promises, and He can speak to me when I'm in trouble, or when I don't know what to do, and I need wisdom, I need guidance, I need direction. He uses His word to speak to us. But He also wants to communicate to us His will for us. And He wants you to hear Him speak. Now again, I don't understand how that always works. A brother talked, someone spoke about visions, and you know, sometimes God will give visions and dreams and so on, our brother Nat. And then sometimes it seems He's just speaking to us as I read His word. It ought to be alive. It ought to be fresh. Why? Because we know the author. We know the one who has spoken this word. And here's just another small thought for you to take. I mentioned on Sunday, I think it was, the book entitled The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And I was surprised that there was not a rush for that book at the boathouse. Sales did not increase. So I'm offering you an autographed copy if you want to buy it, all right? I'll autograph it, A.W. Tozer. There you go. I'll tell you, I got another Tozer. See, I told you I met Billy Graham, right? Shook his hand? Nobody came up to me to shake my hand. But my dad would tell the story that A.W. Tozer was at one of our meetings, or at a meeting that my dad was at. And then my dad got to drive him to the train station. Isn't that a beautiful story? Look at that. So look at that. I am the prodigy of the son, not the prodigy, progeny, of someone who drove A.W. Tozer to the train station. That and the blood of Jesus will get me into heaven. Amen. But A.W. Tozer has a chapter in that book entitled The Speaking Voice. The Speaking Voice. And there he mentions that God, you know, we look at the book and we say, well, God wrote this book, spoke this book 2,000 years ago, right? Maybe even longer than that. He spoke through the prophet. No. He makes the point that when God speaks, that word continues through eternity. It's as if He's speaking it now. You see, we view things in time. We view things in this, you know, our time upon the earth, the sun rising, the sun setting. We count days, years, we count. God is not bound. He does not dwell in time. He made time. And so when He speaks, it's not as if He spoke in time, so to speak. He speaks, and His voice fills eternity. He spoke the world into existence. Can you understand that? I can't. And so we have to see that what God says in His Word, it's not that He said it so much as He says it. That's what it means when it says the Word of God is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. Because it's present. It's not past. God is able to make a word real to you. You read it. It jumps off someone. It jumped off the page at me. Well, how does that happen? The Spirit of God is speaking. The voice of God is speaking. Now you can take that if you want. If you don't like that, it's okay. But I believe that God wants to speak to us. That's my point. He is not a silent God. You know, it tells us for 400 years before Jesus came, God did not speak through the prophets. But thank God that today He's spoken, it says. He has spoken to us by His who? By His Son. He is the Word. And so God speaks, and He expects us to listen. My dad would say it this way: God is speaking. Is anyone listening? We can have our doctrines, we can have our ways, we can have our thoughts, but God wants to speak His Word into your life. Thank God for His Word. I'll give you a little quote from Uncle Hans. He was the founder of this camp, Hans Waldfogel. I think it goes something like this. The day is coming that God will treat you the way you have treated His Word. The day is coming, we're going to stand before Him. What did you do with my Word? What did you do with my Son? And your eternity hinges on the answer to that question. You can't push around the Word of God and push it aside and say it doesn't matter, it doesn't apply to me. Beloved, that Word is your life. And so Elizabeth and Zacharias knew the importance of the Word of God, and they walked in all the commandments blameless, and their life was blessed. What was the special blessing? I have that down there as a question. What was the special blessing God reserved for Zacharias and Elizabeth? It's an easy answer. It's not a trick question. It's not even deep theological. He had a son. He had John. Yes, he knew that that was their desire, but he used that desire. He satisfied that longing, and then he brought about His will. Isn't that wonderful? God can do that. God knows your heart. Some people say, well, if I do God's will, you know, God's going to make my life miserable. You think so? Really? Really? Look at the miserable life Brother Tom has because he obeyed God. Got stuck here at Pilgrim Camp. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, if we would just realize that God has our best at heart. We don't have time to look at the prophecy of Zacharias, but you take the time to look at that. How God just filled them, and He fulfilled that promise. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I can't explain that either. Can you? But God did it. God did it. Yes. And so let's not put God into our little box. He is much bigger and much greater than what you and I could imagine. Someone said He's wonderful. He's amazing. Isn't He?
Yes.
Yes, He is. And so, dear Father, we thank You. We thank You that You have given us Your Word. And Lord, I pray that we truly would hide Your Word in our hearts. That we would allow that Word to change us, to convict us, to teach us. Lord, help us to come with humility to Your Word. To be willing to be corrected. Show us the things that are wrong. Help us, as we heard, to look in the mirror of Your Word. And then, Lord, help us to cultivate a hearing ear. Lord, we want to hear you speak. Help us to be still enough. Help us to let go of our own opinions, our own interpretations, and allow you to speak. Hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful, saying mine, more about Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would again draw our hearts. Thank you for this example of a couple who walked with you together in obedience to your word. And so we take grace this morning. We need your help, Lord. That's why we're here. And so by your Spirit, again, write these things upon our hearts. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, Jesus. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful say in mine, more about Jesus. This afternoon at 4:15, we have a prayer time again with the staff and anyone else who would like to join us. We'll meet in this room, 4:15. The Lord bless you this day. Let's walk before him in all his commandments and all his ways. Amen.
Amen.